Merry Christmas. Please be seated. Of all nights, tonight is one filled with expectation and a night of great joy and promises fulfilled. Tonight on Christmas Eve, while surrounded by families and friends, candles and wonderful music, and a familiar holy story, we're filled with love. You know the love of those around us and those in our hearts, and especially we are filled with God's love. For tonight we remember the events so many years ago when the world received the most amazing gift. We remember that God came to us as a vulnerable little baby to a very unlikely couple in an out-of-the-way place. You know, all around the world tonight, people will honor Jesus' birth with celebrations and traditions and gifts. I mean, Jesus is the only person I know whose birthday is so wildly celebrated and whose birthday is the center of so much excitement. I mean, ask any little kid. You know, after their own birthday, tomorrow is the most important day of the year because it's Christmas. Now, a lot of us spend time thinking about what will be the perfect gift to get our loved ones. You know, we make lists of all our present ideas. And the kids, well, they always make sure they get their list to Santa. Remember in the good old days when we actually put a stamp on a letter and sent it off to Santa Claus in the North Pole, and the U.S. Post Office actually got it there? Well, when my daughter was little, one year I was very busy and a distracted mom, and on Christmas Eve I realized we hadn't quite mailed a letter to Santa Claus, but luckily I had a fax machine. So the technology bailed me out then. And I think that today you can actually just text it. You know, we all have memories about getting the best gift ever, or a story about our search for this really hard to find present that just had to be under the tree. So it makes me think, you know, what gifts would Jesus want? You know, what would the greatest gift that we've ever received, what would our Savior want as his birthday present? Well, I have his list. It came through a very old-fashioned communication tool called the Bible. Matthew tells us in Gospel 25 exactly what is on Jesus' wish list. And Jesus himself says, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was homeless, you gave me a room. And when I was shivering, you gave me clothes. And when I was sick, you stopped by to visit. And when I was in prison, you came to see me. Whenever you did any one of these things to someone who's overlooked or ignored or unwanted, that was me." Jesus says, "You did it to me." Jesus' Christmas list is ours to fulfill. You know, our world is infused with God's presence, yet we're the only ones who can bring about what Jesus wants as his gifts. God's entry into the world so many years ago as Jesus, the incarnation of God, shows us the way that God is, who God is, and how God really does work. In God's greatest gift-giving story, the story of Jesus' birth, marginal places can be the birthplace of saviors, and unlikely people can bring about amazing things, and the hope of downtrodden people can be restored. In the last couple of weeks, we were in the season of Advent, the time when we anticipate Jesus' coming. Well, we celebrate Jesus' coming again to the world tonight. And we get to anticipate Jesus coming again and again in our lives, tomorrow and every day after that. Tonight, on Christmas Eve, our story of God breaking into the world reminds us that God can and will burst in again in the most wonderful and unexpected ways. Our invitation is to join in and to love the people who are overlooked and ignored and not wanted, and find Jesus there. I mean, this is how we really do love him. We love Jesus through our actions with the outcasts and the least of this world who are hungry or homeless, poor, sick, or in prison. When we truly follow Jesus' example and live out his teachings, we get to offer back to him the greatest gift that God has ever given us: love. Amen.